Trask should get the nod, unless he stinks it up terribly. I have the competitive drive of a Tom Brady or a Michael Jordan, but I don't have any talent. Strap him up to a lie detector. I'm against anything that's healthy.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. You got any other names there, Sage? I don't know if you do. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee Dekepper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford. Now is the time to order a vehicle with no deposit. You just reach out to General Manager of Bill Curry Ford, Sean Sullivan, our good buddy, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, the host of the Best in Class Podcast, and he is going to show you the love. He'll let you order a vehicle with no deposit, and he'll work with you if you're looking for a used vehicle. He'll give you that Ira Kaufman discount, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, which is just fantastic. All the information on that and everything is at BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com. Just reach out to Sean. Don't mess around, even if it's body work and you're looking for a good estimate and a discount. Sean Sullivan, Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition for 61 plus years. That's almost how long the Sage has been at it. And if you don't cut back on those beers, Ira, those Big Storm beers, you won't make it 81 years. But Big Storm Brewery, we appreciate them. BigStormBrewery.com. See all the great beers, the Bromosa, the Palm Bender IPA. So many great beers. Big Storm is at Publix in fine establishments. BigStormBrewery.com, and our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. Anytime you have a problem in your home with a flood, with storm damage, with mold, they are licensed mold remediation specialists. You reach out 24/7 to Florida's Elite Restoration. They're going to respond and come out to your house and give you a free assessment with the best technology and honest people. And it is just a fantastic service. We'll hear more about that later. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Ira, free agency is deep into focus here. I don't know where you want to start, Ira, but I will just lay out the very general groundwork here, which is the Bucks can't afford to keep everybody. Simply put, because they've kicked money down the road for 2 years now with deferred money and kicking money. This guy makes $1 million. We'll charge it against the cap later. Tom Brady's on the books a little bit. There's other money out there. They just can't re-sign everybody. They can re-sign some guys, and they can still play with the math, but we're just not going to be able to give full market value contracts to Godwin and Jensen and Carlton Davis, and then moving down to Whitehead and Golston and Sue and Leonard Fournette and Gronk. It's just not possible. The Bucks are about, I think it's about $15 million under the cap, but all of those contracts are not on the books. They're just not on the books. So they have to make room. They have to play their games. They can't get everybody. Ira, what are you pounding the table on, guys, that the Bucks need as this thing ticks closer?
A very nervous time for Buck fans, gentlemen. But as usual, I will start on a personal note, and I can just hear you guys tittering in the background because I might be seeking professional help, gentlemen, because I have a problem. I have the competitive drive of a Tom Brady or a Michael Jordan, but I don't have any talent on the tennis court. It's a terrible combination, gentlemen, and I give you an example. Playing with my guys this morning at the rec center, me and this guy are losing. I'm playing average. He's playing lousy. The guy walks off the court. Middle of the match. Walks off the court. Mike, where you going? I can't play with Ira anymore. Can't play with Ira anymore. I said, Mike, I didn't say a word. You didn't have to. It's your body language. I'm out of here. Gentlemen, this is not the first time this has happened. Lee, if you know a nice psychologist to refer me to, I'm looking for help. I'm losing. And I'm taking it out on my partners. Very infantile, gentlemen. Very infantile. Now, I'm going to go from that to the Bucks situation, which is fraught with danger. Steve, as you pointed out, when you kick the can down the road, eventually you come to the end of the road. Lee, this is a very tough call. Lee, this is a very tough call. Because if I'm going with Blaine Gabbert or I'm going with Kyle Trask, then that's going to affect how many of these guys I want to bring back. I mean, really, Lee, let's be realistic. Can you go very far realistically with either of those two, either under center? And if you can't, and I'm in the group that says you can't, then Lee, isn't that going to shape your philosophy towards free agency about bringing as many guys back as you can to be competitive? For what purpose? I think it all depends on whether you think you can have a legitimate quarterback. And if you can't, Lee, I'm kind of leaning towards building towards something and not just going through the motions like you're a contender when you're not.
Yeah, I mean, they might win the division. The Saints are going to be tough. But outside of that, how far are you going to go? If the Bucs do not tag or re-sign Ryan Jensen, and there's a report out tonight that, you know, there's still a chance the Bucs can do a deal with Godwin. If Ryan Jensen does not come back, you can, in Jason Light's metaphor, you could turn the light off on Tom Brady. He's not coming back. There is no way Tom Brady comes back after he loses two interior Pro Bowl linemen. He ain't going to do it. Not at 44. At 34, maybe. Not at 44. And I will never forget when Tristan Wirfs was a rookie and he said that Tom Brady walked into an offensive line meeting and begged him, I got to have blocking inside. If a guy gets loose outside, okay. I need X amount of seconds to get rid of the ball. And as long as you block inside, we're going to be okay. Well, two of your inside guys, Pro Bowlers, mind you, if they're both gone, Brady's gone. Period.
That's very interesting in terms of that interior protection. Steve, I can imagine Drew Brees had the same speech to the Saints. And everybody used to say, well, Brees can't handle pressure up the middle. But, Steve, nobody was able to get to him up the middle. You know, he's not 6'5". He's not Justin Herbert. But the guy's, going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer because the Saints knew what they were doing in terms of interior protection. Very interesting point by Lee. And Lee, I take it by that you mean there's no way Brady comes back with the Bucs. And if he comes back, it's not going to be with the Bucs.
If you believe what Arian said, that there's no way in God's green earth he's going to trade the rights, then you won't see Brady until 2023 if he decides to come back.
Yeah, I'm so glad you guys brought up the Saints, and I'm so glad you clarified the 2023. I agree with Lee on the for the sake of 2022. But of course, if Brady sits out a year and comes back, which Rob Gronkowski suggested could happen or that he thought would be the case, then, it would come down to how is that line playing in 2022? I mean, whoever the Bucs run out there, if they lose Jensen, maybe Hainsey's good. Maybe they draft a guard and he's fantastic and they keep Kappa. We don't know. But for 2022, I definitely agree with Lee. But I like that you brought up the Saints because they're an interesting example, Ira. They went 9-8 last year with a stellar defense, and they beat the Bucs twice, but for more than half the season, they had no quarterback. And very early in the season, Jameis Winston was sort of playing scared. He wasn't playing like Jameis Winston. So that's sort of like the ceiling I see, personally, for the Bucs. If the Saints, with an amazing defense and not much at quarterback, and with some offensive weapons and some other things that they have there, if they were the best they could do was 9-8, I sort of see that as the ceiling with Blaine Gabbert for sure, and Kyle Trask is a wild card.
You know, Steve, I forgot that the Saints finished with a winning record. What a tremendous job by Sean Payton. That is a fantastic coaching job because, let's remember, Kamara got hurt. He missed about five games. He didn't have a particularly good year for an Alvin Kamara. There was no Michael Thomas. That is a tremendous coaching job by Sean Payton, who then looked at the writing on the wall, Lee, and got the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah, I find it really funny. You know, Peter King was saying some video or some podcast, like sometime last week. He's like, well, I'm one of the people that believes that Sean Payton's done with coaching. He wanted more to life than drinking three Mountain Dews at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, no, Peter, he had no quarterback. He had no money to get a quarterback. That's why he's not coaching. Nothing to do with Mountain Dews.
Yep. I fully expect Peyton back on the sidelines, probably in Dallas, Steve, in 2023.
I liked when Peyton himself sort of said, well, I got out of it, you know, it wasn't that good for my health. I didn't want to run into a health problem. He didn't say he had a health problem. He said he didn't want to end up with one, which is, I think that's what he thought was coming if he was going to try to enter this season, what, like $40 million over the cap and no quarterback. That's just a death sentence in a draft year where there isn't much at quarterback. So, but it's the same for everybody in the conference, Iris. So I'm, you know, there's not a lot of quarterback talent in the draft, and there's a lot of NFC teams aching for a quarterback. So it's just a weird year from that front, Ira. But let's run down these free agents, because there's the big three. And, you know, Carlton Davis is out there. We've talked about him. He is going to be looking for the huge money. Almost everybody ranks him as the number three free agent cornerback out there. You've got Stephon Gilmore, J.C. Jackson from the Patriots, and then you've got Davis. You got some other names out there, but Davis is a proven player, and the Bucs can't afford to lose him unless they can replace him in the draft. But I did write something up today, Ira, two things, and something I didn't put in there. Last year, a unique year, maybe it speaks to a change in development at the college level, I don't know. But last year, the first five cornerbacks drafted, none of them were busts. They all played well when they were on the field, and they were taken in the first 33 picks. And it's a mix of man corners, cover corners, top of the draft, and toward the bottom of the first round. So I don't know. Maybe the Bucs are looking at that saying, hey, the cornerback class that are coming out, these guys are good. Maybe they feel good about that. I don't know. Sage, we'll start with Carlton Davis. What do you think?
Very intriguing for this reason. And I had been thinking that he was going to be the franchise guy. We'll soon find out. Lee, here's the reason I was thinking he'd be franchised over Godwin. One, if you can avoid it, all things being equal, you don't want to franchise the same guy 2 years in a row. It doesn't happen very often for a reason, Lee. You got to pay a penalty. You got to pay a penalty. You do. With Carlton Davis on a franchise, then I want to see, Lee, if the guy can play 15, you know, 16 or 17 games, not 12. And if he plays 12, I'm not going forward with him past the 1 year. So I thought it made sense with the franchise because, as Jason Light said, and I believe him, and I agree with him, the guy is good to very good when he's on the field. And that was the line, when he's on the field. So they're not sure about Carlton Davis's durability, but I'm not in a hurry to get rid of the guy, Lee, because rookie cornerbacks, you know, you might get a Marshawn Lattimore, and you might get a Vernon Hargraves, Lee. And I think we could all agree, Lee, we can all agree, Carlton Davis is the best cornerback on this roster. Can we all agree on that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think we can, and I'm not in the habit of giving up your best cornerback. I would like to see a deal worked out with Godwin. I don't have that much questions about Godwin coming back from this injury. Maybe you could get him cheaper than before he got hurt. So in that respect, I thought the franchise on Davis, we shall see, Lee. As we speak, we don't know for sure, but the reports seem to be leaning towards Godwin. But Lee, I'll say this about Davis. I do not believe that at this point he should be considered one of the top five cornerbacks in the National Football League. I think that's a big stretch, Lee.
Well, I was talking to several former NFL suits last week in Indianapolis, and they sort of agree with me that he's a tweener. Top 10, sure. Top 5, And that's not to say he's a bad cornerback. He's just not elite. He's right there. He's on the edge. You know, I'm not deviating when I say this. I've always maintained that you take O.J. Howard's salary, put it on top of what you paid Chris Godwin last year, boom, you've got Godwin locked up. I don't know why they're messing with the franchise tag. Take that franchise tag, tag Ryan Jensen. If you hope to keep Brady, you got that settled right there. As far as Davis goes, I asked a couple guys this, ex-NFL suits. I said, when is the last time a Super Bowl champion 1 year removed lets their best cornerback go who happens to be 25? And one of the guys I asked that to, he looked at me and he said, When you find out, let me know.
Lee, I think the only question in the minds of Arians and Light and Todd Bowles, Steve, is the durability and the ability to play hurt of Carlton Davis. Steve, I think that's the driving force in this trepidation about the franchise and him. Although, Steve, in that respect, I think the franchise makes sense to take one more look at Carlton Davis and make a final call on him.
Ira, I got to say this real quick about the durability issue. I never heard this when he was only missing two games a year. And on top of that, when did Jamal Dean and Sean Murphy Bunting all of a sudden become durable? So right. Davis leaves because they're worried about him missing a couple games a year, and the Bucs are going to lean on a couple of cornerbacks who aren't as good as them that have even worse durability issues? I don't know.
I hear you. And Steve, if the pass rush is not as good next year, if Sue leaves and JPP is probably gone, Steve, if the pass rush isn't as good, cornerbacks will be more exposed. So it's a dicey time for Todd Bowles right now.
There's so many levels to it. If you take Jensen and Godwin and Davis, and I think we can all agree they just can't afford those three guys. They just can't afford to pull that off with where they sit with the salary cap.
Dropping some people, yeah.
Yeah, it's just not realistic. They'd have to do a hell of a lot of work and not have a hell of a lot of other people. Again, they've just kicked the can down the road. Even what Lee was saying with Godwin's salary, the Bucs right now, Godwin's salary is not on the books for next year. He's a free agent. But they're only like $15 million under the cap. O.J. Howard's not even on the books next year, so it doesn't even really apply. If they give Chris Godwin $20 million, they're over the cap. They got to clear some space. And they will. You know, there'll be some contracts restructured here, probably Donovan Smith, Shaq Barrett, Mike Evans will squeeze them some more room, and maybe they get rid of Cameron Brate, who's like $6 million on the books for next year, and some other things. But anyway.
And they have no tight ends.
Yeah, but I'm not afraid of no tight end. You can get other tight ends. They can get some cheap guys, and they have to. It's safe to say, Ira, I think they're going to end up with two rookie starters here that they're going to have to bank on. I don't know where they're going to be. But they did it in 2020, and it worked, and I think they're going to have to go that route. But before I get off track here, Carlton Davis, Ryan Jensen, Chris Godwin, I think if I had to pick the two guys who make the players around them better, it's going to be Jensen and Godwin, and that's why I wouldn't re-sign Davis.
I don't disagree with that statement, Steve. I don't disagree with it. 2 years ago, I would have said move on from Ryan Jensen, and I think Lee would have agreed with me 2 years ago. He's gotten better each year now. Brady's presence helps in that regard, Lee. It does, because he's exactly on the spot that he tells you he's going to be, and he's that precise, and that helps blocking. But he's been a better run blocker also. He's just better than he was that first year in Tampa, when I thought he was overpriced. They made him the highest paid center in the league at that time. Raised a lot of eyebrows, and his play didn't back it up, Lee. Not that first year. Didn't justify it. And, you know, he does set a tone in the fact that you're losing Marpet, and we know how Light feels about an offensive line. That's genuine. That's where it starts. So I think you guys are right. The two guys out of those three that you have to keep are Godwin and Jensen.
Well, the positive thing about the offensive line in Light, he's demonstrated that may be his strength, is finding offensive linemen. That and wide receivers, he's very good at. So if Jensen does go, I have confidence Light will find somebody somewhere, some way to fill those voids. Now, I got to give Steve props for two things. They're both similar in the sense that he wrote about them. And they're fantastic finds. One is, and Steve wrote this last week, general manager, the Colts, Chris Ballard. You know, Steve cited this where Ballard said there are some free agents that influence a team more than others, that impact a team more than others. And Ryan Jensen is certainly one of those guys. You know, Light always talked about, you know, Jensen's attitude, to directly quote Light, nasty. He always uses that word with Jensen, nasty. And that did rub off on the rest of the offensive line. There's no doubt about that. And the ex-NFL suits I talked to last week all agreed with what Ballard said in reference. You know, Ballard didn't say this about Jensen, but he very well could have been. Jensen's influence actually makes him a better player than what he may be graded out to be.
And Lee, I feel the same way about Godwin. Steve, I'm the guy that compares Godwin to Hines Ward, and you've heard me talk about Hines Ward, who I believe should have a gold jacket. I mean, I think he's a guy whose statistics were very good, but I think his value went beyond the statistics, Hines Ward. He created a persona for that offense, a physicality. I think Godwin does the same thing. Bruce Arians will be damned if Chris Godwin gets away from this franchise. He'll be damned. It ain't going to happen on his watch.
No, it's not happening. I almost never do this, and I have to point it to you guys as well as every one of our listeners who really, really love football and good media interviews, that the kind that we rarely see. But first, I'll say this. Hard Knocks, I watched that this year. The in-season Hard Knocks was probably the best thing I've seen in a long time. I think any of our listeners who watched it with the Colts, it was just raw, great football stuff. And that got me sort of paying attention to Ballard a little bit, who's really an excellent general manager. He's been executive of the year before, Ira. But he did an interview this week with Dan Dockich, who is sort of like the Steve Dumig type on Indianapolis sports radio. And they did 1 hour, and it's on YouTube, and it is just in-your-face, real talk about the team. Anybody who likes football is going to like that interview.
What did he say about Carson Wentz, Steve?
Kudos to Dockich for pressing him like four times on, are you bringing this guy back or what? How did you not decide yet? Are you going to answer the damn question? But a lot of interesting stuff revealed there. It doesn't look like they want to bring him back at all. That was the vibe from the interview, but it looks like it's a split decision in the organization of who feels what. And apparently Wentz is an egomaniac. When I watch Hard Knocks, I put it as I'm seeing what the editors want me to see. And you sort of get the feeling that Wentz is full of himself. And they talked about that a little bit. I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing, but I don't know, Ira. I don't know. But if he gets cut, he's certainly an interesting quarterback for the Bucs, because I think he's better than what they have.
Boy, his star's really fallen, hasn't it, Lee? Hasn't it?
Well, I think we talked about this before. He was on the cusp of being the MVP of the NFL the year that the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and he blew out his knee late in the season. And he's just absolutely plummeted. However, and I think I may have sent you this link, Ira, and I don't know if Steve saw the video. It was Mike Tanner of Football Outsiders did an interview with a statue in Indianapolis. And the subject of the interview with the statue was Carson Wentz. And the statue kept pointing out that Carson Wentz's touchdown to interception ratio is very good, and that the Colts don't have the greatest of weapons around Carson Wentz, not counting the running back.
They don't. You know, they got that Pittman Jr. He's got some talent, got some potential. Best running back in football until Derrick Henry comes back from his injury. And then even then, Jonathan Taylor might be number one. I thought he was a legitimate MVP candidate, Lee. And when you have that, it certainly should make Carson Wentz's job easy. They have one of the better offensive lines. And I'm not going to mention that guy's name, Lee, the left guard. I'm not going to mention it. Because I've been talking about him ever since he got drafted on the pick right before the Bucs. But the fact, Steve, the fact that the Colts appear to be turning on Wentz after 1 year, of replacing their veteran quarter, Philip Rivers, boy, that doesn't speak well for Wentz, Steve. It just doesn't.
No, you're right, Ari. Look, let me throw this out there to both of you guys, because I'd be all in on this, and it's a little out of the box. And I don't really sit around worrying about the Bucs losing free agents. I'm curious to see who they replace them with. If they lose a couple of guys, okay, who's coming in here? What's the roster look like? But, Ira, I would be fine with losing Carlton Davis, with losing Will Golston, and losing Ndamukong Suh if that meant bringing in Chandler Jones to this roster. You know, it's all about the pass rush. He would instantly make the entire defense better, make that secondary better. The Bucs would go to war with a beast out on the other side of Shaq Barrett, with Vea in the middle, two Pro Bowl caliber linebackers, you know, get some reinforcements in the secondary. I would do that in a heartbeat. And the reason I even bring it up is because I went back, I'm looking at video and audio of Chandler Jones talking about Bruce Arians and his system and being a player's coach and all that. And Jones is on a mission for the Hall of Fame. He's probably a couple of seasons away from that, Ira. I don't know. I think the Bucs should go all in there, you know, as far as sniffing it out for real.
He won't come cheap.
Nope.
Nor should he. The guy is building a credible Hall of Fame resume. I think he might have led the league in sacks twice, I think. So he is big time. And if he comes off the right edge and you got Barrett and you got Vea in the middle, Lee, I'm not convinced Nunez Roaches can't play. That guy makes some plays, especially if you got a better pass rusher coming off the right side than JPP last year. No fault of his, but it's a fact. Ineffective. Steve, you haven't mentioned Leonard Fournette. I know you're focusing on the defense right now, but guys, tell me what you think of this. I saw some guy was trying to, you know, figure out how much these guys would cost, and he had Fournette sign a 3-year deal for $15 million. Am I wrong, Lee, or is somebody going to throw a lot more money than that at Leonard Fournette? Am I wrong?
Beware of the Chargers. You imagine putting playoff Lenny behind Justin Herbert?
They got that guy Austin Eckler, but he's not as good a runner as Fournette. Not close.
Nope, you're right. Steve's analogy, his scheme, for lack of a better word, actually makes more sense than it does on face value. And it does make sense on face value. This draft is loaded with defensive tackles in the third and fourth round. The second day of the draft, early third day of the draft. It's loaded with defensive tackles. And the not-so-way-back machine last year, when Jason Light was asked why he didn't draft a defensive tackle, he was very upfront. I didn't like the crop of defensive tackles in this year's draft. And we all know general managers are always looking a year or two ahead at what may come out in the next couple of drafts. This draft's loaded with defensive tackle. So if you can get Chandler Jones by letting Sue and Golston walk, well, you keep Nacho, and you go out and draft a guy, and, well, the second round is basically a third round for the Bucks because they're drafted so late. You draft a guy in the second round.
You know, Steve, you're talking about Chandler Jones. Steve, it kind of reminds me of when we were talking about Calais Campbell. I mean, Calais Campbell has a knack of raising the play of people around him. I think Chandler Jones might be the same type of guy. Distinguished career, you know, might be playing another 3 or 4 years. But what he does very well. He's got plenty left in the tank. And Steve, that leads me to another free agent. And this guy is ascending. Steve, I don't like to lose ascending players that are young. And I'm talking about Jordan Whitehead. Whitehead's coming on strong. I hate the idea of losing that guy.
You know, I'm almost at the point where, gosh, you could almost say the same thing about Davis. The Bucs have two other safeties that are pretty darn good. But I would be very tempted, if it came between Davis and Whitehead, I'd be very tempted maybe to keep Whitehead. It all depends who they get to replace Davis.
He won't cost as much, right, Steve, as Davis?
No, nowhere close. Maybe $6 million a year kind of thing. Nowhere close to Davis, the safety scale. And it's not like Whitehead's a surefire Pro Bowler. And the Bucks, I mean, I get why they feel they can't pay Whitehead top dollar, because they feel like, hey, we have a Pro Bowl safety in Winfield. We're going to have to pay him eventually. And, you know, cornerback is probably more valuable. I still look at the Bucks possibly, Ira, of, you know, Patrick Peterson's out there, and he didn't play too poorly, and he has made a ton of money in his career, and maybe he's willing to play for a little bit less with some incentives. He certainly wants to go to a good football team. He's made that clear, and he loves his coaching staff. He thrived under it. He knows they'll protect him as a veteran. I mean, Arians has a great reputation of, you know, giving veterans as much time as they need. I could see him telling Peterson, look, man, we'll give you $5 million. We'll give you incentives. Don't even show up until training camp. I know you know the system. You know Todd. You know, I mean, maybe they can get away with something like that for a year, because we still believe there's a Super Bowl window. It's just a question of the mix and match of getting the right guys back and having a prayer at quarterback, which is just driving me insane when I think of Blaine Gabbert. Ira, he was benched in Arizona for Drew Stanton by Bruce Arians, and Arians is trying to sell us that that Gabbert's all that.
That was outstanding research by you, Isbitz. Outstanding. You know, Lee, listening to Steve talk about Chandler Jones and Patrick Peterson, on the one hand, I understand what he's trying to say. But, Lee, aren't we dodging a big bullet here? We have to be honest on this podcast. That's why it's so popular. So, Lee, I'll put it right to you. If it's going to be Blaine Gabbert, do you really want to go out and get Chandler Jones and Patrick Peterson?
Yeah.
Or do you want to go young and build for something?
I see where you're going, Ira, but that option's out the window when Arians came back. I don't think Arians has any desire whatsoever to deal with a rebuild. I really don't. I think he would have retired if it came to that. I really believe that. And that's why a lot of the Trask people, they can't get over that mental speed bump. Well, let's go with Trask. Well, Arians isn't going to go with a guy as green as grass because right. He doesn't want to rebuild right now. And if you are, you know, absolutely positively got to get Trask on the field, well, then you might want to tell Bruce Arians to, you know, go to his nursing home in Georgia, where his neighbor's Ben Roethlisberger. Unless Kyle Trask blows away the Bucs, and I hope he does, because that means that's good for the Bucs. If Kyle Trask blows away to the Bucs and outperforms Gabbert, that's great. But right now, on face value, a guy who's never worn a game day jersey, Arians doesn't want that guy starting because Arians doesn't believe a guy has never worn a game day jersey, never took a snap, was at best a third string quarterback, more likely the fourth string quarterback. I know people get bananas about that, but Griffith was higher up on the depth chart, period. That's the way it was. Arians doesn't believe that guy can lead the Bucs on a Super Bowl run.
I want to make two very important points, and I'm directing it right to Isbitz.
Easy, Sage. I didn't like the tone in your voice there. Easy, easy. I hope one of those points is telling everybody that Florida's Elite Restoration is their first phone call anytime they have a disaster in their home, at their business, or for one of their clients. Florida's Elite Restoration does fantastic, honest work and is a true partner to so many businesses out there like air conditioning contractors, plumbers, property managers, and they have Florida's Elite Restoration there for them 24/7 to call when their clients have a disaster. You know, they encounter mold or they have wind damage or a flood. Of course, floods happen all the time. Bad plumbing. Florida's Elite Restoration is that company. If you're a business owner, reach out today to Josh Martin, owner of Florida's Elite Restoration. He's got 14 plus years in the insurance industry as an adjuster. He knows all the games and the nastiness that goes on that side of the business, and he helps customers and businesses navigate those situations, and he's a great partner to have. Reach out, Josh Martin, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Josh will buy you lunch. He'll take you to Big Storm, buy you a beer, or just have a great meal and talk about what Florida's Elite Restoration can do for you. You can proceed, Ira.
Steve, you like to put me on the spot, so I'm going to put you on the spot, Steve.
Well, first, hold on. I'm just sad. I start to cry every time I think about the quarterback situation. I get overcome with emotion because it's so freaking sad, and I wish Arians the best of luck. I'd rather see him play a guy with a clean jersey like Trask versus Gabbert, who's got stains all over his.
Well,
what are those stains exactly?
you're infringing on my point, Steve. First point, I think Lee is correct, whether we like it or not. Trask versus Gabbert. Trask loses out of training camp. I agree with Lee. But, Steve, you read my column last week. I think in that battle, Trask should get the nod, unless he stinks it up terribly. And here's what I'm going to ask you, Steve. From a perspective of the Glazers and Jason Light, strap them up to a lie detector. Who would they want to win that battle between Gabbert and Trask? I think they want Trask, but Arians is going to make the call.
I agree with you.
You're right.
I agree.
You're right, Ira. Because they invested in Trask. They burned a second-round pick. Yeah, it's technically a third-round pick. They invested in Trask, and I think you're right. But guess who's the coach? And Arians wouldn't be the coach if he didn't get the pick who the quarterback was.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Starting Blaine Gabbert just feels like, it's just like trying to climb a 10-foot wall with an 8-foot ladder. It's just not going to happen.
Steve, is it just the familiarity? Is that all it is with this Arians Gabbert thing? Is that it?
Yeah.
Exactly it.
Yeah, trust. He believes in him. I mean, everybody who watches Blaine Gabbert sees the arm talent, but it doesn't go much farther than that. And he did not have success. I cannot just swallow the line of, oh, he's been in the system 5 years. It's not 5 years. He, had great success for us in Arizona. Stop it. Cut it out, Bruce Arians. You bench the guy for Drew Stanton late in December, and your general manager at the time, a good friend of yours, came out and said it was just miserable offense, and they went with Drew Stanton. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Now, Gabbert probably is better, and yeah, he knows the system, and yeah, you would think if he's a smart guy, he's learned from Tom Brady, and he's had those same quarterback mentors around him, but to think that he's going to just rise up and play 17 games, somehow throw 30 touchdowns and 12 picks, which would still be quite a step down from last year, it's just hard to believe.
He's a free agent. Wait, is anybody looking at Blaine Gabbert? Anybody?
What do you mean? What do you suggest, Ira? Someone needs their garage cleaned out or something?
You know what I mean, Lee.
Ira, maybe you saw it on JoeBucksFan.com. Maybe you saw it while you were looking at BillCurryFord.com, shopping for your next vehicle, even though you just purchased your previously leased 2020 Cherry Red Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Sage, I ran a poll. Question was, how will you feel if Blaine Gabbert begins 2022 as the Bucs opening day starter? The leading answer, Ira, was numb. 32% yes. Numb. Followed by sad, followed yes. by betrayed. And
sad.
That's 78% of Bucs fans. That's how they're feeling.
Lee, it's amazing that we're talking about it. It's just amazing that we're talking about going from Tom Brady to Blaine Gabbert. It's surreal. Lee, it is surreal.
I mean, but here's one for you, Ira. I think, Lee wrote something about Jason LaConfora mentioning Blake Bortles as a possible Bucs quarterback. One thing that came out at the Combine last week is that Arians said, we're definitely going to have four quarterbacks in camp, and we're going to get some other guys in here, and he wasn't talking about drafting anybody. Maybe they're looking at Bortles to be that third quarterback. Maybe they're looking at some other veterans to bring in to be that third and fourth quarterback to sort of really compete and have more guys learn the system, maybe give up on Ryan Griffin, get some bodies in here and see what sparks out of training camp. I don't know, but it wouldn't shock me if LaConfora was being serious that they're going to bring in a guy like Blake Bortles on a minimum contract and let him fight for a job.
Well, my first reaction, I think Lee agrees with me, is I think he mixed up Blaine Gabbert and Blake Bortles.
That's what I thought. That's what I have not heard any connection. I haven't heard any mention of Blake Bortles. Forget the Bucks. I haven't heard any mention of Blake Bortles. Oh, it's in Lock and Four. It comes out. Blake Bortles, Bucks quarterback. Like, he's got to be thinking of Blaine Gabbert.
Now, Steve, there's a word that Lee has been mentioning regarding the chatter around Blaine Gabbert. And it's an interesting word because I think it might have some merit. And it wouldn't be the first time that things that are said in February and March turn out to be a misdirection. And that word is smokescreen. Lee has mentioned it in terms of Gabbert. Who says they're not going to come up with a Bridgewater or a Garoppolo? I mean, in Bruce Arians' mind, can he wrap it around that's an upgrade? Am I wrong?
I agree with you completely. I think it could be a fluid situation. They don't know who's going to get cut or be on the street cheap. I mean, if Carson Wentz is sitting there and is willing to play for $7 million, all of a sudden Bruce Arians might be like, hey, I love that guy out of college, and wow, what a deal. What a deal, Or like you said, Ira, nobody would be shocked after the way Arians has talked about Bridgewater is if he's on the street and they sign him on the cheap, and all of a sudden they're all gung-ho, and oh, Byron loves Teddy's game and all that stuff.
The one thing I always go back to, always, with Arians in particular, not turning the ball over. I mean, if it's not the first thing he says about a quarterback, it usually says grit, and then followed quickly by mistakes and giveaways. And that's what drove him crazy with Winston. Love the production of Winston. Couldn't handle the giveaways. And that's obvious. 30 of them. That's a big number, Lee. Brady was a master. Not as good as Rodgers. Not as good as Rodgers in minimizing turnovers. But he threw a lot more passes than Rodgers. But I think Bridgewater's known for that too a little bit, Lee. Doesn't throw a lot of picks. Wentz doesn't throw a lot of picks, Lee, either. So I think they could be attractive. Lee, I guess what I'm saying is, here we are, early March, and I still can't wrap my mind about Blaine Gabbert taking the first snap.
I don't think he could have found six people, you know, when Arians was being interviewed, when he was up at the podium, and there's a couple hundred reporters in that podium room, I don't think you could have found six people that actually believe when September comes around that Blake Bortles is going to be under center for the Bucs starting the season.
Wait a minute, you said Blake Bortles. You said Blake Bortles.
One bad Jags quarterback is another. You know?
There you go.
All right.
I've been reading too much Lockett Fora, and I think maybe he spent one too many nights at the Yard House, and Steve and I can both confirm that.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. Sage, gosh, we could talk forever. Lee and I encountered a lot at the Combine. We'll let that trickle through podcasts coming up. But there is one thing that I think is critical here. It's the kind of stuff that we excel in at this podcast, and it's not food, Ira, so calm down. Reality is, Ira, this Tom Brady thing will not go away. Peter King, he's on this week, you know, and of course this is a week where all these guys are reconnecting with sources and working the streets and all that. Peter King is on NBC saying he believes it's a 42% chance Tom Brady returns to play. You've got Rich Eisen, who just finished talking to anybody and everybody at his combine coverage today, said that he believes on a scale of 1 to 12, Brady coming back is a 7. And he talked about some of the things that he's been hearing off about Brady still maintaining his crazy strict diet and some other things. And it just will not go away. And the wrinkle that I'll add here, Ira, is that you know Bruce Arians is beloved by the media. He's a great interview. Certainly always at least a B+, usually an A. And he's just a lovable guy and an interesting guy in this year's NFL for a lot of reasons, as far as a national media perspective. And Bruce Arians did not go on with Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. And we heard from somebody that Arians is a little unhappy about some things that have been out there in the media. And I think he's got some grudges as it relates to this Brady stuff. And maybe that means it's real. Maybe that means it's not. I don't know. But what do you make of all of this, Ira? And I'm curious to see if you think it means something that, hey, Arians didn't go on Pro Football Talk like he does every year.
Well, I think he is upset, Steve. In fact, I know he's upset. He thinks that a lot of these reports are guys just trying to get clicks and knows that that's a big driving force. So you exaggerate. And I'm not saying you make up sources, Lee. But you know, you take a small tidbit and you make a big deal about it. This stuff about the friction between Brady, maybe I got my head in the sand, Lee. You got to correct me if I do. I'm just not buying it, and I'll tell you why. Is there another player in this league, including Aaron Rodgers, who had more clout on the direction of his franchise than Tom Brady in the last 2 years with the Bucs?
None.
Example A, Antonio Brown. Arians had no use for him. Went public. Didn't hide it. We don't want him. He's not a good fit. What more can you want Arians to say? We don't want him. Next thing you know, later that year, he's on the Bucs. Helps him win a Super Bowl. And then we saw how it ended. There's even some suggestion that Brady's mad at Arians about the way he handled Brown at the end. I mean, that's all crazy. Lee, that's nuts. That's nuts. As you pointed out, he quit on his teammates. And Lee, from the information we can gather from nobody other than Mike Evans, who Mike Evans doesn't hate Antonio Brown. Mike Evans respects Antonio Brown, but Mike Evans' account, Lee, suggests that the original stories were right. He didn't think he was getting the ball enough. It sounds crazy because, Lee, in the first half of the Jets game, I think he had more targets than any Buck receiver. You know, it's crazy, but that was the source of his frustration. It wasn't this nonsense about Arians wanting him to play hurt. And, you know, are we going to side with Antonio Brown?
No. But there's just way too many credible people that are on this scent for me to totally dismiss it.
I know you
dismissed what I'm about ready to say, Ira, but to me, when UFC guy, the guy that runs UFC, when he came out and said he was texting Brady saying you ought to force a trade to the Raiders, you know, I go back to what sparked that idea in his head. You know, this is a business associate of Brady's,
Dana White.
Dana White. You know what made that click in his head that Brady might be on board with getting forcing a trade out?
Maybe he's a Raiders fan, Dana White.
He obviously is a Raiders fan, and here's another reason why I think there's something to it. Whenever someone puts something out that's blatantly inaccurate about Bruce Arians, his son comes out firing on social media. I've never seen Bruce Arians' son come out, Jake Arians, saying this is a bunch of crap, that, you know, Brady and my dad were absolutely, you know, locked, you know, we're mind melding and we're bosom buddies and that they were completely on the same page. Now, could Brady be a diva? Absolutely, I agree with that. If he whined about Belichick and he whined about Arians, maybe Brady's the problem, not Arians. Maybe Brady's the problem, not Belichick. I absolutely could believe that maybe Brady's being the diva here. But there's just way too much smoke from too many sources and too many people that I admire and I have utmost credibility for me to totally dismiss that this is all nonsense. I'm not saying if it's, you know, I'm not saying how accurate it is, but to me, there's something to it. I can't ignore it.
I don't see any tangible signs, Steve, that Brady is rethinking his retirement. I don't hear it. What I hear is from other people. I don't hear it from Brady. He's about to venture into movie making. He's got a million things going on. Steve,
God awful movie.
Steve, one more thing. Besides the fact that he had incredible clout, which he craves, and he got from the Buck organization, and he earned it over the years. Steve, here's one more point that nobody can deny. Tom Brady is upset with the Buccaneers after having one of the best seasons in his entire career. He doesn't like this offense after leading the league in yards and touchdown passes. I mean, what does this guy want, Steve?
We've gone through this. I just was wondering if you thought there was anything new, Sage. It's the same old story. It's hard to believe that Brady would be upset like that unless he's more of a diva than we thought and more of an egomaniac and all that stuff, which could all very well be true. He also might look at it as very simply, hey, look, Bucks, I gave you guys a break on my salary. I gave you two great years. I gave you everything I have. I brought you a Super Bowl. I want to go somewhere else, and you should let me because I'm Tom Brady.
Well, the grass isn't always greener, and not everybody else has Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Gronkowski.
That's true.
Steve, next time we do our podcast, which is not going to be very far away, we're going to know about the franchise. So we'll have plenty to talk about.
Yeah, we will reset everything once we have that down with the franchise tag, if it happens, if it doesn't. Of course, they could sign Godwin on the tag, and then if Godwin doesn't put his signature on it, then they can always take it back. And they can, if he does sign it, they can keep negotiating. So there's a lot of flexibility there. We don't know what's going to happen, but Sage, we do know that you will be dining well. What does the Sage eat on a Tuesday in March, Ira?
We had leftover paella with chicken. Ooh. Sausage. It was fantastic. Tomorrow I'm cooking up a steak, gentlemen. I'm cooking up a steak. Hey, I need my energy. When I get back on that tennis court, I'm running out of people that are willing to play with me, Lee. I'm running out of those people. I'm running people off the court. And you know what, Lee? It's not something I'm proud about. I need help. I need help.
You have high standards, Ira. There's nothing to be ashamed of or apologize for.
My body language stinks, Isbitz. What am I going to do about it?
All right, Ira. Get out of here. We'll talk after this tag is applied or not applied.